Good evening and Happy New Year. Welcome to the first meeting of the new year. I'd like to call to order the City Council meeting of January 4th, 2011. City Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Councilmember Sternoff?
Here.
Councilmember Wallen?
Here.
Councilmember Marchioni?
Here.
Mayor McBride?
Here.
Councilmember Asher?
Here.
Councilmember Greenway?
Here.
Deputy Mayor Sweet?
Here.
Deputy Mayor, did you have a...
I do. Madam Mayor, honorable council members, I ask for the council's consent to introduce at this time a motion to continue the public hearings under agenda item 9A, including the ordinance and resolution relating to impact fees, to the February 15th council meeting.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by council member, Deputy Mayor Sweet, and seconded by council member Sternoff. Questions, thoughts, sir?
If people that showed up tonight, will they be able to testify and then we'll continue the hearing? And people may not be able to make it at a later time.
I believe we're going to try and hold the entire meeting at a different time. And maybe perhaps the city manager can explain or talk about one of the reasons or why we're doing this tonight.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor and council members. The purpose of the move is to give us an opportunity to do two things. One, get some more information from the school district that has been requested, and two, to have further convening of the stakeholders, the builders, the realtors, the Chamber of Commerce, to see if we can find further common ground before final action. So the goal would be to have all of this move to February 15th, and then take the whole thing, including the public hearing, up at that time.
Yes. I have no problem in continuing to February 15th, but I'm just wondering if there is anyone in the audience that has come tonight that may not be able to make it. I think they should have an opportunity to speak since it's been publicly noticed. Mm-hmm. And we can still continue that to February 15th.
I believe they could speak during the items from the audience. Is that correct, City Attorney?
They certainly could. For the purposes of your hearing, which is one that you've decided to have, it's not a hearing required by state law, so you could take right into account what they say this evening under comments from the audience, and then also we could make sure that you have that available for you at such time as you have the hearing.
That's good.
Is there any other discussion? So all those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, this motion carries, and we will place this on the agenda probably in February
15th.
Okay. Thank you very much, Council. Next, we're going to move to item number 6, communications, 6A, announcements. I have just one to make. We're going to have a guest tonight, and we expect him to come around 8 o'clock. Typically, that would be in time for items from the audience, but we will be honored tonight to just briefly hear from Senator-elect Andy Hill from the 45th District. So when he comes in, we'll extend a courtesy to hear from our newly elected senator. So with that, we'll move on to item number 6B, items from the audience, and this is a time in our meeting when we hear from the public on matters that are not quasi-judicial or otherwise scheduled for public hearing. Under item 9, we don't even have to discuss the public hearing because we just have moved that. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes, and we also ask that not more than 3 people speak on, for, or against any particular subject. So I have a sign-in sheet. Let me call on the first folks who have signed in. The first is Jim McElwee. Hello.
Is that thing on? It's on down here.
Shifter. Colin, can you help?
We seem to have a little technical glitch at this
point. Excuse our technical difficulties.
I'll introduce myself while they're doing that.
Cold weather.
Is it warming up?
Okay. Outside, too.
Oh, Kathy, you can't do this to me while it's warming up. I'm last 50 more.
Thanks.
I'm Jim McElwee, South Rose Hill Bridal Trails Neighborhood. I'm here tonight speaking on behalf of the Board of Directors of the South Rose Hill Bridal Trails Neighborhood Association. And you're considering an ordinance tonight that deals with RH8 zoning in the Northeast 85th Street corridor area. Ordinance 4286 to talk about allowing ordinary uses above the ground floor in that neighborhood. And we ask that you leave that intact and not move it. RH8 is surrounded. If you look at the right side of the screen, the yellow is RH8, it is surrounded by 7.2 single-family housing, basically. And there aren't any of the usual buffers between businesses and residential neighborhoods. Now, we worked long and hard to get this plan in place. We had the local residents right around 85th Street. We had both neighborhood associations involved, North Rose Hill and South Rose Hill Bridal Trails. We had the businesses. We had the property owners. We had city planners and even several sessions with the city council. Worked long and hard, and it took several years to get that plan in place. It was a good plan, and it was really well done. But the proposed change would really damage the residential neighborhood that's surrounding there. It would affect the privacy. More people would be looking down on the backyards. There's potential noise, be it music from a barbershop or clatter, whatever, odors if there are beauty shops and restaurants. And each of those items was already considered when we made the original zoning. So this proposed change does create a greater opportunity to rent space for the commercial property owner, but if you look at it, a parallel change would be to look at my neighbor who's having trouble making his mortgage payment, and he says, well, I just want to change oil in my driveway and do a few brake jobs to get money to pay my mortgage. Look, the economy changes, but if you make this zoning change, it's essentially forever. And we want those businesses to be successful. They're really a valued part of our community. But to make this change would be expedient. It would take care of those businesses now. But it isn't planning. It's just being expedient. And please do the planning thing and keep that zoning intact. Thank you. Now, I want to, on a personal note, I'll take that 15 seconds if I may, Kathy. I'm going to have to apologize for leaving.
Okay.
I have a medical thing that says get horizontal, and I do respect all the work you're doing, and I'm meaning to show no disrespect by leaving early.
Thank you.
Get horizontal, Jim.
Next is Andrew, is it Schenefeld? Schenefeld. Thank you.
So my name is Andrew Schenefeld, and I'm actually here representing the Muscular Dystrophy Association, and I really just want to say thank you. Thank you guys for being a part of a community that is so generous and just really amazing. We've done fundraisers throughout the year, including a lockup, which one of your members took part in, as well as numerous city employees, and that's like a jail-themed fundraiser, which is really great. We raised about $40,000 this year. But particularly what I want to talk to you today about is what the Kirkland firefighters take part in. It's called a Fill the Boot, and you guys have probably seen it. They stand out on the street corners with boots, and people donate dollars, change, whatever, and it makes a huge difference for the MDA. We're here fighting 43 different neuromuscular diseases, providing help and hope, both services and research, really struggling as hard as we can to find a cure for each of these diseases. And we couldn't do it without people, like really the members of the Kirkland community. community. And so I'm here with some plaques of appreciation. The firefighters in Kirkland raised over $10,000 this year in one day, which is just really amazing. And last year they raised just barely under $10,000, $9,376. And so we wanted to drop these plaques off for you guys here in the city to say thank you so much for supporting the firefighters, and thank you so much for being an amazing community. Thank you.
Thank you. Well,
thank you very much. Thank you for all that you do. That is actually the end of our items from the audience sign-in sheet. Are there others who wish to address the audience at this time? Yes, sir? Sure.
I'm Mel Tolson from North Rose Hill, and in regards to the zoning change, the RH8, my understanding was that this whole plan had been put together over an extensive period of time, and a lot of work had been done and planning had been done to set it up. And I think that unless the reason for the current rules has changed, we believe it should stay in as it is. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir.
Hello, my name is Bill Vedino with the Greater Kirkland Chamber of Commerce, and I just wanted to thank you tonight for your consideration of Ordinance 4284 relating to transportation and park impact fees and extending the availability of certain impact fee deferrals in the Kirkland Municipal Code. This is appreciated by the Chamber, the business community, especially in these unique times. So thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much, sir. Now, is there anyone else? Oh, yes, please come forward.
Mayor McBride and council members, my name is David Hoffman. I'm here representing the Master Builders Association tonight. I'm actually here to speak also to consent agenda, or an item on your consent agenda, Ordinance 4284. Just want to extend our appreciation and thank you for your consideration of this and the fact that you are extending these opportunities for our members to pay impact fees at a later date. Fees for park and traffic equate to about $7,670 on a new single-family home, and financing and the carrying costs for these in this economy is very difficult, as you all know. So this proposed ordinance makes sense, and the folks who build homes in Kirkland appreciate your consideration as we struggle through this economy. Secondly, I'd like to speak very quickly to the item which you withdrew earlier and moved to February 15th, and thank you as well for that. We, as the Master Builders Association, have still outstanding questions and would like to have the opportunity to sit down with the city and the district and other stakeholders and get those questions answered so we can hopefully find some common ground and some compromise on the questions. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Now, are there others in the audience who wish to address the council? I also have one person who signed in for the public hearing for the Lake Washington School District impact fees. And since we've now taken that off the agenda, I'm just wondering if Ms. Palmer would like to address the council at this time.
Okay.
Okay, and before I end the this section of public input, I just want to recognize it seems we have a Boy Scout in the audience, and if you'd like to stand up and tell us what troop you're with and your name, sir. Oh, well, welcome. We're glad you're here tonight. Thank you very much. Okay, if there's no one else to address the audience, I will declare this period of audience input closed. Next, we're going to move to the consent calendar. And before we get the consent calendar on, before I ask for a motion of support, I do need to pull item number 8A, the approval of the minutes, December 7, 2010. Those minutes aren't completed yet. Is that correct, ma'am? Okay.
Special presentation.
Pardon me?
Special presentation.
Oh, my gosh. I knew I was skipping something. Would you excuse me, counsel? I am sorry. I have so many notes on my agenda tonight. Please excuse me. We're going to go back now. We'll come back to the agenda calendar. Let's move on to item number 7. And thank you, Councilmember Greenway. I'm glad someone's got a clear agenda. I have so many notes on mine. So we'll move on to item number 7. Again, excuse that mistake. And this is special presentation 7A, 2010, East Side Month of Concern for the Hungry. City Manager?
Thank you, Mayor and Council Members. As you know, every year we declare a month of concern, and last year was September 25th to October 23rd. It was Share What You Can, our food and cash donation drive. And normally we report to the council at the December council meeting, but it was so full with budget and other items that we postpone the summary. So, as usual, Kirkland has done an extraordinary job, and so we wanted to report on those results. And so, Reggie Schuberger, our Youth Services Coordinator, is here to make a small presentation and to thank some individuals who did a great job in it.
Actually, I'm going to defer to Norm Storm to do the presentation. Thank you.
It's like a political convention.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, I, as Kurt said, I'm here to report on the East Side Month of Concern for the Hungry Food Drive. And a committee was formed in the summer, just like we did for 2009, and to coordinate the efforts in gathering the food for the drive. And I'd like to recognize Teresa Andrade from HopeLink, Reggie and Kari Page from the city, and I was on the committee as the CAN coordinator. We deviated a little bit from the 2009 plan in that in 2009 we had a competition between the neighborhood associations, and I think the prize was a day at the pool. And one of our present council members was, I believe, quite actively involved in that at the time, and they won. But there were some of the other neighborhoods that weren't very enthusiastic, certainly not as enthusiastic as the market area. And so we decided to use a different tact and go ahead and emphasize the contributions at the supermarkets. And we did that along with the other group for the needy that was took three supermarkets on September 25th, and we manned the others. And we included the supermarkets in the new neighborhoods that are coming in on June 1st. We actually had, we solicited rather people to man the donation areas from all of the neighborhood associations. We got a great turnout. Kari Page and I were sort of roving troubleshooters and made sure that everything was running smoothly, and sometimes it didn't run that smooth, but we learned a lot for next year. I don't want to take too much more time other than the fact that I want to say that Kirkland's efforts in the food drive itself was approximately 25% of the total amount that was donated by all the seven East Side cities. So we certainly made a good showing, and the cash donations were about 18%. In fact, the Red Apple down at South Rose Hill and Bridal Trails, a lady wrote a check for $1,000.
Oh, wow.
And boy, it was really, that really boosted our amount. But we're really excited and about coming next year on this, and we've learned a lot this year, and it was really a lot of fun.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much, Norman. If you could just stay up there for a little bit. We have a little something we wanted to present to you for all that you did during this wonderful event. So Doreen Marchione will join me down here, so just stay right there.
So this is a trap. You know.
come down here.
Is this on?
There you go. I'm going to hold this for Doreen, or I'll give this to her. We have, Norm, for you a certificate of appreciation and recognition of your outstanding efforts during the 2010 Eastside One Concerned Food Drive. And thank you for all the work. I know how much it means to organizations in this community and all the people who are in need of using our food banks right now. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
And, Norm, I just want to thank you. You do so much for this town, but, you know, bringing food to the hungry, God bless you every day for that. And thanks for all of your work in making this happen. So let's give them a round of applause.
Thank you, Norm.
Good job, Norm.
Good job to all of you and the whole city. Get horizontal, Jim.
So, well, I think we have a moment of perfect timing. Before we move on to the consent calendar, we have our special greet tonight from our newly elected senator from the 45th District, Senator-elect?
Senator-elect
Andy Hill from the 45th. Thank you, sir, for coming.
Well, thank you very much for having me. My name is Andy Hill. I just was elected in November to the State Senate representing the 45th District, which is half of Kirkland, half of Redmond, all of Woodinville, Duval, and Carnation, and I get a little slice of Sammamish as well. But I get sworn in on Monday, so I'm still senator-elect, and they remind me of that because I don't have a key to my office. I don't have email yet. My legislative aide has my email account, but I can't get any of that. So I'm still, I guess I'm just a humble citizen. But I just wanted to stop by, introduce myself, let everybody put a face to the name and a voice to the name, let you know that I look forward to working with Kirkland and the City Council and representing you in the Senate, and I welcome any questions.
Council? Comments?
We'll be in touch.
I'm sure it's going to be a very tough year. I think everybody knows what I'm going into and what the legislature is faced with. It's going to be a bit of a defensive year, I think. I think it's a do no harm will be the watch. The words we'll be working through. But I do look forward to working with everybody. And thanks for fitting me into your schedule.
Sure, Deputy Mayor Sweet.
Congratulations on your new role. The do no harm, keep that in mind a lot, and study our legislative agenda. We'll be down to see you in a month.
Very good.
Mr. Sterno?
Congratulations, and no unfunded mandates. Please.
Mr. Asher?
Yeah, I was wondering, since you don't have access, we're going to finalize our legislative agenda tonight. Would it be worthwhile to send this to an email that you can get and look at before you get the keys to the office next week?
My legislative assistant gets it, and she will forward it to me.
Okay.
I just can't get it.
Oh, okay. Good. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, but I'll get it as soon as you send it.
All right. Thank you.
I'll have her looking out for it.
Thank you very much for coming tonight. We very much appreciate it. We know it's going to be a hard year, but we know that all of the electeds that represent Kirkland are going to work very hard for us, hard for our citizens, and hard for the region. So thank you, sir, for coming. We wish you the very best in the new year.
Well, thanks. Look forward to working with all of you. Thanks, Mayor.
Thanks.
So now I think we're ready for the consent calendar. And as I said before, we will need to pull item number 8 A, this is approval of the minutes for December 7, 2010. They're not prepared yet. So before we have a motion, I'd like to call on Council Member Jessica Greenway for an audit of the accounts.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We had payroll in the amount of $4,048,674.65 and bills in the amount of $4,927,028.89.
Thank you very much. May I have a motion to approve the consent calendar, please?
So moved. Second.
Moved by Councilmember Marchione, seconded by Councilmember Greenway. Are there any questions, comments? Yes, sir.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to discuss item 8H1, whether we want to pull it. It will probably take a couple of minutes to discuss.
Mr. Asher, there may be a way we could even handle it right now. If you could just say briefly what your issue is.
Right. I'd just like to ask if we would consider on the term of service limitations on those that we appoint to boards and commissions for partial terms, that we take a little bit what I would call a more generous approach. And it was very similar to the way that the vice presidential candidates can serve in office. If they are appointed for less than half the term, they can serve two full terms after that. If they are appointed for more than half a term, they can only serve one. And if we could do a parallel to that, I think what I'm concerned about is we take people like Bob Kamuda and limit him to 5 years. And Bob has been the chair here for the last couple of years. So
He's 8 years.
He's 8 years.
Right. But if it was in a situation where, in following this, we could have limited him to 5 years.
So we would be moving it from a one-year.
Instead of 365 days, it would be
2 years, half the term.
Changing it to 730 days. And on the paragraph on term limitations where it says if they're appointed to fill for 731 days rather than 366.
So, Council, if we're okay with this, we could leave this on the consent, okay? Nope, so we're going to move it.
I think it needs discussion because I don't agree with that.
Okay.
That's the reason we are setting these rules in place to prevent, to spread.
We're going to move this then to unfinished business. I thought there might be a possibility of keeping it on the agenda, but we will move it and we'll all have an opportunity to briefly talk about this.
Thanks.
So that will be under unfinished business, would it?
Yes.
And that would be 10C. Is there any other comments? Yes, ma'am.
Just wanted to make two comments. One on item 8H6, the interlocal agreement for use of the sewer by the church development in Redmond. And I asked the question of city manager. I wanted to make sure that this would not limit Kirkland's ability to approve any future development. And the answer was that it would not. So, therefore, I'm comfortable with that. And then just the other comment I wanted to make was about the painting project and of the North Rose Hill Water Tower. What a beautiful job.
Oh.
What a beautiful design. A great job. Thank you so much. Turned what was, I wouldn't say an eyesore, but certainly, you know, not all that attractive into something really quite attractive.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I would I'd like to comment about Ordinance 4284. I really appreciate the council and the mayor, I think, took the lead on this initially on the deferral of the impact fees until a later date of construction. So thank you for your work on that, and I think the city will benefit greatly, and people that spend money here will be more inclined to. So thank you.
Well, it was the work of the entire council. Thank you, sir. Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Councilmember Sternoff?
Yes.
Councilmember Wallen?
Yes.
Councilmember Marchione?
Yes.
Mayor McBride?
Yes.
Councilmember Asher?
Yes.
Councilmember Greenway?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Sweet?
Yes.
Okay, item 9 has been removed from the agenda. We will move on to item number 10, unfinished business, 10A, resolution R4862, approving a City of Kirkland legislative agenda to be addressed to the 2011 session of the state legislature. City manager.
Thank you, Mayor and Councilmembers. I just want to clarify real quick. The item that you moved to unfinished business, I think, becomes item 10D.
Okay.
So
right.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
There's also a 10C. It's harder to see on the agenda.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, but item 10A. So at the December 7th council meeting, the council reviewed our draft legislative agenda and agreed with all of it except for one element and asked us to bring it back for adoption today, so that's what's in front of you. That one issue that was outstanding was what we termed a waste-to-energy element, and we've put in a memo to clarify that what we, in fact, are looking to support is the useful conversion to energy of fat oil and grease. So the question is, with that further clarification of what we actually meant, would the council like to reinsert that back into the legislative agenda before adoption?
Yes, ma'am.
I would like to support inserting it back into the legislative agenda, and I would also like to encourage us to start a new use of terminology, and that is to use these specific terms like this, brown grease to energy, instead of using the more general term, waste to energy conversion, because that means so many different things to so many different people. And I think we can begin to make these terms more useful by let's lead the way and start using very specific terms. Let's don't even put waste to energy conversion in the legislative agenda. Let's use this specific term to mean this specific process. That would be my suggestion.
Are there any other comments? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I could support what Jessica just said because it is very confusing. I would like to, I know this is in our general principles, and I've just said it to our Senator-elect, but I'd like to move bullet point 3, oppose the imposition of new mandates, down to a priority. I really would like to see it there. I know it's a principle, but I'd like the council's support to move it down there so that it's loud and clear. You know, in our budget times right now especially, I think we need to be loud and clear.
Is council supportive? Can we get head nods on that?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we need that to be done. Did I see another hand? Okay. How about Mr. Asher and then Deputy Mayor?
Madam Mayor, I'd just like to move the staff recommendation to add the reuse of, brown grease to our legislative agenda.
Second. Okay. Any comments or concerns on that? And let's see if we can, we'll get this added right away then. And we'll call this question, then we'll come back to the full motion for the
final adoption of the legislative agenda.
So all those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And that carries. Let's go to Deputy Mayor Sweet, and then we can include in our motion Mr. Sternoff's recommendation that we've just agreed to, if needed.
And I only want to say thank you very much to Bobby Wallace for a report that really made me understand it.
Oh.
Pass it on, Ray.
Thank you. So may I have a motion to approve our legislative agenda with the
As amended,
including Mr. Sternoff.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Asher, seconded by Council Member Marchione. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? And that motion carries. Next, we'll move on to item number 10B. This is miscellaneous zoning municipal code amendments. This is ordinance number 4286 and its summary relating to zoning, planning, and land use. City manager.
Thank you, Mayor and Council members. The City Council had a study session on these miscellaneous amendments on December 7th to review all of these. There was considerable discussion, but one item that you asked us to develop options on that we need a final decision on from you today is the issue that was talked about in the public comment, which is the RH8 zoning. I guess I do want to clarify, and Eric would probably say this as well, that the current proposal as the ordinance as drafted you have in front of you does not make the change. But in the study session, the council asked us to come up with a couple of options. So Eric Shields is here to walk through those options. But if you'd like to leave it as is, you would simply adopt the ordinance as currently drafted. But we also have amendments drafted to do other options if that's the council decision.
Okay.
Yes. Took away most of my presentation. So the only issue that came up at the study session that we had direction on was on this RH8 zone. At the time, we didn't get into it in great detail. When staff kind of got back, started thinking about it, we realized there were a couple of options for you to consider. Mr. McElwee put up a even a better map than this, I think, really showing where the RH8 zone is. It's at the very east end of the 85th Street corridor. The area surrounded by that dashed line is the RH8 zone. It's a commercial zone. It's designated as an office zone, but it also allows retail uses as well. And then there's single-family residential immediate to the north and south of that zone. So we've offered four options for you to consider tonight. The first would be to not change the existing regulation, which prohibits the retail uses, and there's a similar regulation, by the way, for restaurants as well, above the ground floor. This is the option that was recommended to you by the Planning Commission. But at the study session, you indicated some interest in possibly eliminating that restriction or changing it. Again, there was a couple of options here. The second bullet point is the option that we presented to the Planning Commission after they had an original study session on this issue. We went back to staff and presented an option for them to consider based on their direction that would allow only limited personal service uses on the upper stories. And so that option is presented for your consideration in Exhibit 1 on pages 270 and 271, so adds additional text to that special regulation. The third option, third bullet down, would simply eliminate that regulation that prohibits the retail uses on the upper floors. We did not also present to you the option which would prohibit restaurants on that upper floor, but I suppose that would be another option if you wanted to do that as well. And fourth, I suppose you could always remand it back to the Planning Commission with direction for preparing an alternative amendment if you wanted to do that as well. So for your consideration, I think we're offering those three, primarily those three first bullet point options for your consideration. Let me add, too, before you move into your discussion, that we did present you with some alternative pages, e-pages 289 through 294 to correct some wording on one of the amendments that appears on a number of pages. And I want to thank B. Nahon for catching our typo on that. Appreciate that sort of embarrassing that we had to rely on her looking at that. But so we would like that to be added to the ordinance. Thank you.
Council discussion. Council?
Sure.
Yes, sir?
I would like to support the neighborhood associations. I was part of that when we worked on that. We worked on that whole corridor pretty hard, and this was given some pretty special attention. So I think we ought to leave it the way the Planning Commission has recommended and the way the neighborhood associations and as Mr. McElwee outlined the collaboration that went on earlier.
Yes, ma'am.
Like Dave and like Mr. McElwee, I have that same background. I was part of the task force, long, lots of involvement in working on and developing this Rose Hill Business District plan. And as Mr. McElwee said, it was very collaborative. It was very hard, and it took a long time because we had everybody at the table. And we worked through and worked through and talked and talked and talked and talked until we finally came to a consensus on everything. And one of the major, very important principles in this plan was to try to balance the needs of commercial, which in this unique area is right up against residential. And a very important principle that came out of it was not to have commercial encroach any further on residential. And unfortunately, ever since that plan has been adopted, we've been kind of slowly trying to chip away at that most important principle. And so, you know, I see this as a, if I look at the cost and the benefit, I think the cost of not keeping things the way they are, what was adopted, what was worked through, what was agreed upon is very high, and the benefit of doing so is very limited. So I support the Planning Commission's recommendation to leave the zoning the way it is.
Ms. Wallen and then Mr. Sternoff.
I have a different approach, and that is these economic times, I think, call for more flexibility rather than less. And so I'm looking for compromise. So I think that I wouldn't support completely removing the restrictions on the second floor use, but I liked the second option, limited personal services. It seemed to me that that option would allow more flexibility for businesses to operate, but also would not would have a kind of a minimal impact on the residences around, and also that there are other regulations, I think, that would protect the neighbors in those areas. So I would support the second option.
Mr. Sterna?
I understand clearly what the neighborhood is saying, and I understand the work that was done, and that's greatly appreciated. I'm torn on this because I do believe that there are some uses that could go upstairs that are not going to interfere or cause problems in the neighborhood. But at the same time, I'm also cognizant of people's right to privacy and desire for privacy. At the same time, I also know part of this plan was to see redevelopment and to have a neighborhood atmosphere in that area. And I'm concerned that I don't know when it will happen, I don't know if it will happen, but I think at some point, I think the city has to look and see if the policies are in fact driving that type of development to happen, or if we're going to continue to see what we have up there now, which is certainly one large project with a vacancy, but more importantly, the desire of anyone there to go redevelop or change the buildings that they have. So I'm trying to be fair here. I suppose at this point I would go with option two, but I with a limited, I guess, limited personal services. I guess is that one? I guess that's nuts too. Limited personal services. And I think what we need to do is really have our Planning Commission spend some time, not only in this area, but in other areas talking about trying to give us some advice on compatible services that could be above a second floor in all neighborhoods or in different districts. And I know that's not on their work plan, but I think it may be something we may want to talk about, because I don't want to be expedient. I want to be careful, and I want to be thoughtful, and I want to be respectful of all the work that was done in Rose Hill. And I know a lot of those people. I know that their passions are there. I know their hearts are in the right place. At the end of the day, though, I know that they want their neighborhood to be better, and I know that they want to be able to have it walkable and go to services and have services up in their area. So it's a tough thing, but I'd probably go with limited personal services, and I'm not even sure what those are.
Okay, Ms. Marchione and then Ms. Sweet.
Yeah, I understand where the neighborhood is coming from, but I think we really have some inconsistencies in how we classify these various services. When you're looking at, you can have a massage parlor, but you couldn't have a nail salon. You know, the massage parlor could play as loud music as a barbershop could if they wanted to. It's usually soft and gentle, but you know, they might blast something away. And I think that's something, at least in the long term, we need to take a look at. Also, my long-term concerns are that whole corridor. It is one of the entryways to the city. And as I said at the study session, I think in the long term we want to see redevelopment of that corridor, and that we need to decide how we want to see that redevelop, because that strip is there and zoned, and do we really want to encourage the houses that are there to be maintained over the long term as people are coming into the city? And so I think we need to look at what can we do, and maybe the Planning Commission could look at what are low-impact businesses that could go in this corridor? But I would support option two also.
Ms. Sweet?
I hate to be redundant, but I too would vote in support of option two. I think the development potential has got to be left with some opportunity. And I think we need to do everything we can to avoid single-story sprawl. If we can encourage, the development of buildings that can have uses on the second floor, and I like the idea of personal uses on the second floor. I wish we could get more of them off the first floor in the downtown core. But I also think that by allowing this on the second floor, won't we mimic more the zoning code that we have in our core districts?
For example, in the downtown, you're
right.
Saying? Well, sort of. It's a little bit different. We don't prohibit retail on the upper stories in the downtown.
Oh, that's right.
And retail, true retail, tends not to go on upper stories.
Exactly.
Because it's not a very accessible use. So services tend to then gravitate toward upper stories as opposed to being on the ground floor. But strictly speaking, it's not quite the same regulatory.
But I think it's the same symbiosis that we kind of look at when we're looking at downtown, hoping to have business on both the first floor and the second floor. Mm-hmm. So I will support this.
So, Council, before we go on, I'd like to get a motion on the floor if there is a support for that option two. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
So it has been moved by Councilmember Sweet and seconded by Councilmember Wallen to amend the ordinance to allow limited personal uses above the ground floor by adopting the revision shown in Exhibit 1. And we still have some other issues that we'll be talking about, perhaps. This is just this one issue. So now, we've already had the debate on this. Do we have some other comments? Yes, sir?
Thank you. We're not talking one-story versus two-story here. This is going to be, the comp plan says discourage one-story structures. The second story, it's the use on the second story. Mm-hmm. We have available in the second story residential. We have available on the second story office. And that's what's available, that's what's in the comp plan, that's what's in the zoning code to currently be allowed there. We have the First Tech Credit Union, which is down at the corner of 128th, the second floor, has not been rented for 2 years. We don't have a shortage of retail space here. You go down another block on the other side of the street, the 126th and 85th Street, we've got the strip mall. It's got one tenant in it, the State Farm agent. We don't need additional space. If we do need additional space at some time in the future, we can go back and amend that. But we're looking at two-story buildings. It's just what is the use in there? And we have office available under the current zoning code and under the Planning Commission recommendation, and we have residential that can go in there. So I'm okay. Not sure why we would want to go and broaden that further, and we don't have the need for it right now.
So I think we've all spoke. I'm not sure that I've spoken. I'm going to support this amendment, and I do so reluctantly, but I actually think it's the right thing to do. This is a different world than when we passed this plan many years ago, and given the significant resources that have been put into this area, which is the second highest revenue producing area in our city, I believe, that Sound Transit has put in, that our city has put in burying the lines, this is a place that needs more options for economic development. And I think I would be as interested in seeing the Economic Development Committee look at this as I would to have the Planning Commission to take a look at this, because we are in a new world. We need our options open. So I think we've all had at least one chance to speak on this. Are we ready to call this question, or shall we set this aside? Are there any other issues in regards to ordinance number 4286. Do we have other questions in regards to any other issue? If not, then I'd like to, I think we have to have a roll call vote.
Mayor?
Yes?
I think first you have your vote on the amendment, and then the
Oh, do
ordinance.
We need to do that as well? Okay. So let's vote on the amendment to ordinance number 4286 that includes option two for the limited services on the second floor. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion carries on,
five.
I believe that's 5-2. Okay, now we'll go and have a vote, and this will be a roll call vote on ordinance number 4286 as amended and its summary relating to zoning, planning, and land use. Madam Clerk, would you call the roll?
Councilmember Sternoff?
Yes.
Councilmember Wallen?
Yes.
Councilmember Marchione?
Yes.
Mayor McBride?
Yes.
Councilmember Asher?
Yes.
Councilmember Greenway?
No.
Deputy Mayor Sweet?
Yes.
Next, we're going to move on to item number 10C. This is ordinance number 4287, adopting a new chapter 5.75 of the Kirkland Municipal Code to recover certain costs of providing emergency medical services transport. City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor and Council Members. As you recall, you had a lengthy policy discussion and decision-making session on the elements of this and asked us to come back with an ordinance to implement the EMS transport fee, and that's what's in front of you. This ordinance authorizes the fee. It authorizes the city manager to establish a procedure to bill and collect the fees and establishes that we create the financial policies for those who can't pay the fee. If you like, we have Lieutenant Young here who can make a presentation on this, or you can choose to move forward with the ordinance.
Okay, just a moment, please. Mr. Asher?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move ordinance 4287, adopting a new chapter 5.75 of the Kirkland Municipal Code to recover certain costs for providing emergency medical services transport.
Second.
I think Mr. Sternoff got that one.
Thank you.
Okay. It was moved by Mr. Asher, seconded by Mr. Sternoff. Any other comments, additions, thoughts? Yes, ma'am?
My only comment is going to be around setting up the procedures for billing and that kind of stuff. I hope that we take the opportunity to look at existing protocols that are being used by other departments and don't belabor the process too much, because I know you've done a lot of really good research on that.
65. Thank you. Any other comments? Madam Clerk, would you call the roll?
Councilmember Sternoff?
Yes.
Councilmember Wallen?
Yes.
Councilmember Marchione?
Yes.
Mayor McBride?
Yes.
Councilmember Asher?
Yes.
Councilmember Greenway?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Sweet?
Yes.
Excellent presentation.
Thank you for all your work on
really.
This. This is a good, real good job.
Next, we will move on to item number 10D, and Mr. Asher says we should reference page, what was that, sir?
65.
And this is moved to 10D from item 8H1, and this is revisions to the Kirkland procedures. So, Mr. Asher, you explained your issue. Do you want to have one more?
Just asking for consideration if
okay,
you might expand that.
Okay. And Ms. Greenway?
If you remember, the reason that we are putting these rules and procedures in place is to prevent some things that happened in the past where you had people being reappointed and serving on boards and commissions. Really, I think one person served. I know a couple people served at least 10 years, and I think someone mm-hmm. served 13 years.
A bunch.
And really the whole point of this is, serving on a Kirkland board and commission is a real community privilege, and it's something that a lot of citizens want to do. And I just think our policies and procedures should allow for as many people as possible to have access to these positions. I think it's incumbent upon us, when people apply for a position, before they apply, they know exactly what the rules and restrictions are. So if they apply for a two-year position, they understand that that will limit them in their reappointment to only serving a certain number of years. So I think it's very important that we be very clear up front with people. But I think the goal is to spread this opportunity around to as many citizens as possible.
Okay, before I call on anyone else for comment, could I just have a motion? If there is support on the council for resolution R4858 adopting the boards and commissions appointment and reappointment policy as written, we have a motion to approve it.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Council Member Sternoff, seconded by Council Member Greenway. More discussion? Deputy Mayor.
Just want to echo Council Member Greenway's comments and just remind us that we just interviewed six amazing candidates who, and so I think there's a lot of fish out there. Right. So lots of opportunity to flush new blood through our system.
Are there any other comments? All those in favor of resolution R4858, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, sir. Our pleasure. Next, we are going to move on to new business. This is item 11A, the Green Codes Project. City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor and Councilmember. So this is a check-in. The adopted 2010 to 2012 planning work program had the low-impact development and green codes project as one of its elements, and this project was initiated in the spring of 2010. David Barnes, who is our green building lead and our project manager, wants to provide an overview to the council because we're seeking your advice and input on next steps. So we want to provide you with some background and then get your thoughts. So, David?
Thank you, and good evening. Thanks for the introduction, too. That was my first two sentences. I wanted to also let you know that, you know, I've had a lot of help on this project so far. Not only the green building team has been helping, but also in our work group, Paul Stewart, Rob Jammerman, Jeremy McMahon, Jenny Gauss have all been great participants, and I couldn't, you know, have put this together without them. So I want to thank them for that. So what are we proposing with green codes? We are exploring new code language to encourage low-impact development, sustainable sites, and energy efficiency for all of our buildings. So what does that mean, low-impact development? Those are concepts or techniques such as rain gardens, green roofs, impervious pavement, sustainable sites, working with the natural topography of the site, preserving more trees, for example, energy efficiency, tighter building envelopes, and possibly generation of renewable energy. The purpose of the project is to develop specific sustainable action items that can be translated into city practices, initiatives, and amendments to the zoning code and municipal code. If you can look at attachment one of my package, that identifies phase one sustainable actions that we're looking at and we're currently evaluating. And those came from a much larger worksheet, that which is attachment two. So if you're interested in looking at the full menu of items. But the reason why we kind of moved to the attachment one is so that we could have a manageable amount of items to consider, you know, during a reasonable amount of time to achieve these green codes rather than trying to make the project too big. So these are some of the outcomes that we would expect to have if we had a green codes in place, and they're all fantastic reasons to do and implement green codes. But really, this is kind of the next logical step in that to develop incentive-based codes that encourage, voluntarily encourage people to develop more sustainably in Kirkland. We have a great green building program. We have LEED accredited professionals on staff, and we've adopted the Department of Ecology's 2009 stormwater manual. And having green codes in place is kind of part of a menu of items that would allow citizens, developers, builders to actually start doing more sustainable techniques without actually having to certify a project or, you know, use LEED or use Built Green, for example. And in fact, you know, probably a lot of permits and things that we see don't necessarily, they're smaller projects potentially. We can start encouraging people to do these more sustainable actions. And I think that what we'll see is we will see more businesses in town, whether they be consultants, you know, kind of encouraging sustainable development, and we'll see hopefully more economic development related to this activity. I just wanted to show you just pictures worth a thousand words. This is a rain garden. It's a low-impact development technique that helps clean stormwater and manage the flow of stormwater. We've had private development that, you know, instead of, say, putting a lawn in, for example, they're capturing stormwater off the street and treating that, and also the pervious sidewalks that actually allow water to kind of charge our underground. And then pervious driveways and access roads. So these are some of the things that we're talking about. I kind of wanted to crystallize in your minds what we were actually talking about, and we have some good local examples. And like I said, you know, with green codes in place, we won't have to necessarily have somebody be doing a big, expensive, certified project to actually get more of this on the ground. And that's kind of... There's a green roof that we have that looks really nice. It's really pleasant to look at these things instead of, you know, a dark roof. And I think that will also help contribute to Kirkland's character. And last but not least, we're not looking at approaching this from, we have a lot of technical expertise on staff, but we have actually a lot of great local professionals, stormwater engineers and so forth in Kirkland that want to be a sounding board, and we've devised an idea that they would be a great technical advisory board for us. In fact, they could probably help inform us, you know, what kinds of things may work and how they would work with codes that we would propose and be a great sounding board. We also propose to use any kind of electronic media that we can to help get this message out, including open houses. Obviously, we're going to be having study sessions with the Planning Commission and the Houghton Community Council and concluding with a public hearing. All of these are designed to encourage more public participation, not just for the statement of, yeah, we have a lot of public participation, but also encouraging and letting people know that we might have these codes in place so that they can use them. And that's what we'd like to see. So that concludes my presentation. If you have any comments or questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
We're going to go right into that. Mr. Asher?
Thank you very much. This is the teeth that we need in exactly the right direction. I applaud you and the whole team that worked on it. I have some questions on both the attachment 1 and attachment 2.
Okay.
Would it be appropriate to talk about that at this time?
Sure.
At the bottom of attachment 1, the under the Planning Commission review, under C2,
yes.
Allow building envelopes to encroach in required setback yards for exterior rigid insulation. That concerns me, since we have, in the not too distant past, reduced our setbacks from property lines to as little as 3.5 feet.
Mm-hmm.
That we don't get into that that area, we don't reduce that any less. We right now we cannot safely erect a ladder in that distance. So please don't reduce that any further. The next comment I had was on attachment 2. Got two comments. One, let me get it up to large enough where I can read it. It's on page 315.
Okay.
In the packet. Item 68 under A, or excuse me, 6B. It says modify the design regulations to incorporate bicycle storage in low emissions and fuel efficient vehicle parking. I think that's great. What I'd like to see, as soon as I saw that, it came to mind that we really haven't adopted in our regulations currently the room for design for our recycle containers.
Okay.
And we also need to add some accommodation for that, both curbside and as we go to really clustered dwellings. The curbside gets there's competition there when you're trying to put three containers out per dwelling unit, and also places to put that in and around. I think that'll be applicable for single family, as well as it might provide, if we design it right, for multifamily. And the last comment is on B2, on attachment 2. It says increase water rates to subsidize water conservation programs. I can see where we want to have good water conservation programs, but it's a big leap to say that increasing water rates is the way that we need to get there. Maybe you would want to reword that one. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Sweet and Ms. Greenway?
My only comment, or when I looked at this initially, I was a little concerned because it looked very bureaucratic, and I thought lots of opportunity for us to do the kinds of things that I don't like that we do. So I really loved your opening comments. Your opening comments made me recognize that we're going to think expansively about this. I think that in this case, this is one of those occasions when to be a great leader, you have to be a great follower. There are so many opportunities out there. There are so many really smart agencies that are focused on this kind of work. So I applaud your efforts to stay on top of that and to kind of ride it. So good job.
Thank you.
I know you'll be more flexible on some of these things.
Ms. Greenway, and then I'm going to have a question before we take other comments.
Really want to echo Councilmember Asher's comments about promoting the designing in of recycle facilities. That's already becoming a problem. And everybody supports the concept, but you need the practical space to do it, to collect the items. And I just want to say about this program that I really like the focus on practical, doable, effective, small things that could be a part of any development, a part of any projects. The certification processes are great and they get a lot of attention and notoriety, but what we really want to do is get these things in place in the easiest, simplest, most practical way possible. And it seems like this will foster that.
Thank you.
Just a question. What are the next steps? And two is, you know, I'm assuming, given Mr. Asher's comment about the water rates, that while you may have many things in here, there are many of these things would come back to council before they ever saw the light of day on our zoning code.
Everything would.
Okay. Right. Okay. And what is the next steps? Should we... I'm assuming you are looking for nods of approval tonight.
Yes.
And then what would be the next step?
The next steps would be...
Page 317.
Okay, start working on those things.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
That's exactly where we're going to go.
Perfection. Now, are there other comments? Yes, sir?
having seen an awful lot of green projects all over the country, there's been some that have worked and some that haven't for a number of reasons. You know, I think it'd be good to have a list of things that have worked that are things that I think we could support. And I'd move it one step further and even come up with some partners that have some of those products. Maybe the city can enter into some type of an agreement to promote as best you can without, you know, guaranteeing anything, of course. But, you know, I think the more that you can make something available would be much better. I've said it for a long time. The problem with the tree ordinance in this city that I have is we don't make trees available. We don't make plants available, and I think, or at least at a discounted thing. And I'd like to maybe, as you move forward, figure out how we do that. How do we really treat this as a total environment, just not building? Right. Okay. And I think the last thing that I'd probably suggest is that there probably isn't much in this city that bothers me more than hearing the garbage trucks move 5 feet and pick up a container, move another 5 feet and pick up a container. And I think when we come up with a better way to go collect garbage and which will save us both the emissions, the wear and tear on our streets, hopefully, I would hope that would become part of this process as well, because there's nothing worse at 7 o'clock in the morning.
6:30 this morning.
What's worse, it's your garbage day and you don't hear anything.
Yeah.
May we have, are we in agreement, head nods on this and as we begin this process?
Great work.
Oh, yep. Very good work. May I just ask one question, kind of a public safety thing, but it's really personal to me or my experience. During this last ice storm, there's some impervious sidewalk near me, and it was the only sidewalk that wasn't covered with ice. I mean, it was pervious. All the other sidewalk was covered with ice. It was the only place, and it looked as if the water just perked down through it and didn't form. And it was amazing. It was safe. So is that what we would always expect or typically expect from pervious?
Yeah, because, you know, as long as it's maintained properly, it's not going to let the water collect. Oh. It's going to go right through.
I had 100 feet of great walking. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you for your good work. Thanks. Right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well done. Next, we'll move on to council reports at 12A, City Council. Mr. Sternoff.
Thank you. I'll start with some of the more regional stuff first. The SCA dinner this month will have Dow Constantine there, which is always good to be able to interact with the county executive and get what's on his mind, especially with budgets and all that. The SCA caucus is tomorrow night. I don't know who's going. I'll be there. Dave will be there. Joan, I don't know if you'll be there or not, but it's CTEC.
I'm working on it.
You're okay. All right. Anyway, those of you who aren't on boards, it's sometimes good to go. If nothing else, you'll meet some people and you'll hear the issues that are out there that may affect us. So, yeah, it's a long evening. Yeah, I can tell you it's going to be sandwiches, but it's worth going if you have a chance. If you have any questions, you can give me a call on that. What's that?
Might need a ride.
You want to ride back? Okay. All right. Yeah. Just
bus there, but might need.
Okay. Yeah. Not a problem. Last night, because I had nothing else to do, I listened to the Bellevue Council meeting. Actually, I watched it. They're on TV too. They did take up the TOD last night. They did pass it, but they do have some concerns that we'll hear about. One is 520, and what the effect of the tolling will be. That's what that's going to be. So. That came up. That was passed last night. They also did something with the ETP letter. They were supposed to have it out today. I was going to try and get it. It may be out tomorrow, but because they made some changes. But Bellevue is kind of Bellevue-centric. Bellevue, Seattle, you know. And I know Kevin serves on the ETP, and Kevin, you know, talked about the connections between Redmond and Bellevue and Kirkland. A lot of the council members talked about the connections between the big job centers, Redmond, Kent, Seattle. So, didn't talk about Totem Lake. But I'm just to bring the council up to speed. I was curious how that debate would go last night, and they even went an extra 15 minutes, which they don't like doing. But so that's interesting. So we have some interesting times at the RTC coming up to get the details right on that, and it's going to be very interesting. Everybody's looking for turf. And then I guess on the fun side, a couple of us, well, actually one of us from the council did the polar bear plunge.
He did it twice.
Yeah, I went in twice. As my mother said, it doesn't take brains. A great event, not a sanctioned event by the city, but hopefully we can get it to be. A lot of fun-loving people, thanks to our deputy mayor and her husband for providing the hot chocolate afterwards. But it was really neat. And it's one of those community events. It doesn't cost anything, really. It's priceless. It's not that cold, really isn't. But hopefully next year we'll get some better greater participation out of our council. So anyway.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Ms. Whalen?
I wanted to make a comment about an item that was on the consent calendar, and that was the approval of the Kirkland Police Guild Support Staff Agreement. And I wanted to express appreciation for our partners for approving the agreement. I think it was a powerful step towards and kind of a leap of faith that union showed some leadership, and I just wanted to say thanks for that. And to tell you that my New Year's resolution is about sustainability at the city, that I still have concerns about our labor costs, health benefits, all that kind of stuff. And so I'm going to kind of be reminding you all year about how we need to make our decisions framed within how much revenue we have to spend. And we always need to be looking at keeping our expense reflective of our revenue. So that's going to be my theme for the year, sustainability. Thanks.
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Asher?
Nothing tonight.
Ms. Greenway?
Three things. First of all, I think it's always important to mention we've just been through the holidays. We've all had lots of fun, lots of time off, lots of festivities. I think it's important for us to recognize that our public service personnel, our public safety personnel, our police and firefighters were pretty much on duty all through the holidays. They lead a different life. They're committed to serve, and they serve through all times. They don't get to take time off for holidays, and this affects their family life, and it's indicative of the extreme commitment that they make to public safety, to protecting all of us. And we had a tragic fire this holiday season, which was a stark reminder of the commitment that our firefighters and police officers make. So I just think it's always important to recognize this, to let them know that we realize that they are there protecting us all the time, even when we get to relax and take time off, and that we really, really appreciate it. Secondly, I attended, along with some other council members, in mid-December, the open house for the 101 Kirkland building. Many of us have taken to calling it the Bank of America building. I think you all know what I'm talking about. And this was just a wonderful event. I want to say I am so proud of this building. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, we worked so hard, it was a really hard time, and blah, blah, blah. You know, I just feel like, to me, I'm willing to do any amount of work and go through any amount of torture when the result is fabulous, when the result is excellent. And this is a building that we can all be proud of. It definitely achieves one of my major goals, which is to feel human scale at the sidewalk. It's a pretty big building, and it feels very human scale on the ground level, and it's a beautiful building inside and out, and it's my understanding that it's actually very popular because the apartments are getting leased up very quickly. So I just want to congratulate everybody that was involved in the long process that it took to get to this building, and just say I personally think it was a great result, and I am very proud of it. Lastly, I just want to bring the council up to speed on the King County Solid Waste interlocal agreement process. We are on the Metropolitan Solid Waste Management Advisory Committee. We are making progress. We have started to educate our new members about the transfer station plan, and people are starting to all the old members are definitely committed to implementing that plan, and the new members are starting to understand why it's important. And now we're moving on to start talking about making plans for the implementation of that plan, which means funding the construction of the infrastructure. And so I have a spreadsheet here that has a lot of numbers on it, which I could hand out to you now. It's got a part of it that is very clear that shows the rate impact of different terms of financing. But what I would really like to do is ask the council if we could make this an agenda item for a future meeting in February or early March, because what I would like to do is give you financial details, talk about the transfer station plan, and get your direction and understanding of and commitment to the transfer station plan and funding the transfer station plan by signing an extended interlocal agreement with King County Solid Waste.
Council? Okay.
I just want to know when the site selection is going to begin.
It's actually soon.
Good.
Yeah. So would anybody like to see these numbers now?
No, I wouldn't.
It would be great.
I mean, if someone wants them,
it's very clear.
Please pick
it's
them
actually
up.
Very exciting.
yes. Mr. Sternoff.
I just have a question. Could what kind of public involvement would be here? Because there's got to be some, I would think there's got to be some public input from our citizens, because there are citizens that happen to like that transfer station and like where it is, and there's others, of course, that don't. And I'm trying to figure out, so that we represent our constituency the best way we possibly can, how do we insert that public, where? So you don't have to answer now, but I think we, you know, rather than just let us take it up and give you a blessing without that input.
Well, let me just tell you, and we can talk more about it. We have it as an agenda item, but the transfer station plan was studied extensively, you know, over a 3-year period by all members of the King County Solid Waste system. It was developed, the criteria was selected, it was developed, all the existing transfer stations were evaluated, the plan was developed, the plan was adopted. It's part of the King County Solid Waste comprehensive plan. So what we're really talking about now is not the transfer station plan, because that has been adopted by all 37 cities. It's how to finance the renovation and construction of the transfers, of the infrastructure.
Perhaps I think what Mr. Sternoff may be referring to is that once, several years ago, we had that on our public survey, and it turned out that a number of our citizens were not in favor of closing it. And I think what maybe what you're bringing up is that we might just need a way to let our citizens know what this plan is.
What the plan is, because if there is going to need to be a bond issue or some way to finance it, we're going to have to bring a public in. Mm-hmm. And I would suggest we may want to bring them in sooner and get them educated than later. You know, I understand exactly what you're saying, and I understand what the process has been and the timeline. However, I'm also going to say that it is an issue in this community. We've seen it, as the mayor mentioned, and that was kind of what did, in fact, tickle my memory. So
maybe we could talk about how we'll let folks know. Thank you so much.
Can I just,
we'll put it on
there. Can I clarify one thing? It won't be. It will be. It won't be a. The kind of bond issue that people have to vote on.
It's the utility.
It will be bonds. It will be funded by bonds that will be issued by King County Solid Waste, which is a self-supporting enterprise, by the way. And it's the revenue that is generated by tipping fees that will pay the principal and interest of the bond.
And that will all be in this wonderful
agenda
item.
Okay.
We'll try to get
look forward to
a lot of information in a simple format.
Good.
And we'll thank you very much. We'll get that on the agenda and we'll have that discussion. Yes, ma'am.
Just a couple things. Following up on Councilmember Greenway's comments about public safety, I just want to thank Public Works for stopping all the drowning that was going on in the rainstorms over the holiday. They helped us downtown in putting up our Christmas tree this year. I think they're going to help us take it down. And on top of that, we had a storm hit us, I think, one night when they'd been there all day. And we appreciate it so much. Right? Please pass that on. Secondly, 28th of this month will be the 4th or 5th One Night Count of the Homeless. And this is my invitation to any of you who want to join me. City of Redmond has challenged us. I think they had 4 members at the count last year. So anybody interested, let me know, and I will let Megan know. And then finally, next Tuesday, the 11th, is the State of the City address by the mayor at the chamber. And I encourage any council members who have the time and availability to be there.
You'll get questions. I just have 2 things. One is has to do with Totem Lake, and actually the actual lake that is, as you know, owned by the King Conservation District. I would like, if council is supportive, to ask our park board to begin to dream about what that could be. I'm particularly interested because I have heard from the supervisor, the chair of the supervisors of the King Conservation District, that they are interested in talking to us about partnerships. But I think the first step in anything like this is to at least get this on the park board's agenda, if you'd like to send that forward to them. Okay. The second thing is kind of a personal thing, and I think it's, maybe I tracked it, I don't know, but I've just recently during the holiday had one too many people run red lights in front of me. And it's lucky perhaps that when I pull up to a green light I stop, which I understand you're not supposed to do, but it's been a good luck thing for me in the past couple of days, because people seem to be wanting to run red lights right into my green as I was. If I would have gone into the intersection and not slowed down deeply during that green light, I would have gotten clipped. I would just like I'd like to ask the Public Safety Committee to look at red light cameras. I know that they're beginning, I think, to do them now in Redmond, and just take a look at them. And that's all I have for tonight. And we can move right on into a 12B, City Manager.
Thank you. I have a couple quick items because you didn't get enough on bonding and financing and public safety. We did think you'd like a bit of good news to start off the new year.
Yes.
And that is an update of the bond issuance we did for the public safety building. And Tracy Dunlap has the best line of the night, so I don't want to step on it, but she's got the actual bond issuance and some good news to share with everyone.
great to get good news at the beginning of the year.
Yes, but at the end of the meeting.
It's really quick. I was going to pass out, this is the final official statement, so this is the actual marketing document of the bonds, and so I have copies for you that I'll pass out at the end, and I'll just give you this one-liner. I spoke to the bond council before the holidays, and she said, we've been telling all our clients that Kirkland got the last truly great interest rate. Because I don't know if you follow the municipal bond market, or actually the bond market, it's been very, very volatile. Yeah. And that the next day, in fact, I think it was the University of Washington issued a large number of bonds and did not get as favorable a rate. And within a week, the interest rates were substantially higher. So we were kind of saying, it's a little bit the luck of the draw, too, but the other thing is the Build America Bond Program did not get continued, so I think that really helps substantiate doing it a little earlier than we may have needed to, but we got advantageous rates. But I thought that was a great line. I said, can I quote you? And she said, yeah, you can quote me. So
it's the care and attention that you guys put into it. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks. And so I'll just pass these around, and we just wanted to make sure that you had copies and heard the good one-liner.
Well, thank you. And I think it was also, though, a product of this council being willing to be nimble.
Absolutely.
And allow the city manager to sign that offering. Was it? Is it an offering?
Thank you.
Well done, Tracy.
Well, great.
So it was an excellent team effort. I say what luck is when preparation meets opportunity. So great staff work by the team and by the council. So
thank you very much.
So then, I'd like Kathy to pass something out to you. I have a calendar proposal, a staff proposal for you on the study session. I know many of you saw the city manager email I sent out to all Kirkland staff about trying to take the budget we adopt, which set the framework, and create sort of a priority focus for 2011 and essentially create a citywide macro work program. And so we've been having that discussion at the director's level. We've been having that discussion in the brown bags that I've had with city staff. And my hope, and it's a little bit, I guess, new, would be to actually have the council take a look at this, edit it, revise it, and adopt it early before things like council retreats so that we know what the sort of priority focus of the government should be in 2011. What I just had passed out is essentially a paraphrase of what I gave to the directors, and it lists the kinds of things that we're talking about. And it's not going to surprise anyone when you look at them as to what's potentially on the docket. This came out of the budget process and also out of my individual conversations with council members. So what I'd like to propose to you is that we currently have scheduled for the first study session on the 18th, the IT update. And I'd like to propose as a calendar event that we move that to the February meeting and that instead we have a discussion of this as a preliminary draft of a work program so we can get council's input, additions, changes, and sort of concerns and hopes, and then turn this into something that becomes the priority focus of the staff with our resources in 2011.
Council?
Great.
Uh-huh. Great. Okay.
Thank you.
And then one last calendar item, and that is the AWC Legislative Conference is going to be well attended. Five of you have decided you'd like to go down, which is great. One of the questions we wanted to ask you is, normally in these we set up times for council members to interact with our legislators. If all five of you go to all meetings with the legislators, we have to notice all of that. So we wanted to make sure, A, you were aware that all of you want to go down and ask you, would you like us to maybe delegate the actual meetings to the Legislative Steering Committee? Would you like us to break them up? How would you like us to schedule the
Mayor?
Interaction down there?
Yes.
I would suggest we notice it.
I would too.
Don't be encumbered by that. Just notice it, and then we'll see how it works.
Storm the hall.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay.
Fabulous. And I think that's all I have.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much. We'll now move on to item number 13.
Mayor, sorry.
Yes, Mayor.
Can we get an update on the transit center construction completion schedule?
When do we schedule the opening ceremony on our calendars? Let me ask that.
I can get you the official announcement. It's being developed right now by Sound Transit. Contractor is about a month behind schedule right now. Uh-huh. We've added a number of items to for work. They are doing the landscaping. They want to get the western side completed before they shift their operations. King County typically in February will do a route change as they do in September, and they're trying to hit that in the publication so that we can have it open by that time. But we'll get you the official announcement. It has yet to be determined.
Okay. Thank you. All right, now we'll move on to item number 13 because it's before 10 o'clock, so we now have an additional time in our meeting when we can hear from the public on matters which are not quasi-judicial or otherwise scheduled for public hearing. And this additional items from the audience period will not exceed 15 minutes. Speakers who have not yet addressed the council will be given priority. So is there anyone at this time who wishes to address the council? Mr. Juan? Okay. Anyone else wish to address the council at this time? Well, then our second items from the audience portion is closed. We'll now move on to item number 14, adjournment. Thank you very much, council. We got a lot of work done today, and thank staff.
Thank you.